Harper Audio presents Sharon, The Life of a Leader by his son, Gilad Sharon. Read by Rich Topol. Author's note. Over the course of nearly 60 years, my father has been on the front line of all major national events in Israel, and he has always played an active and central role. There is no matter of national importance that he has not addressed, influenced, or left his mark upon. From national security and the Israel Defense Forces, where he set new standards and stretched the Army's capacity to record heights, to the continued development of agriculture, industry, and foreign relations, among many others. His fingerprints can be found all across the length and width of this country, in the form of over 100 blooming settlements in the Galilee, the Golan Heights, Samaria, Judea, the Negev, and the Arava. Even at a young age, my father had a strongly developed sense of history. Over the years, he meticulously kept material, including letters, notes, maps, records of conversations, articles, speeches, and detailed notebooks. In the writing of this book, I used all this authentic material. In addition, I read many books and articles that describe the events covered in the book. I spoke to people who had accompanied him on his journey since childhood, during the long years in the Army and in the public and political spheres, including the Prime Minister's office. I met with President George W. Bush in the Oval Office of the White House and with Prime Minister Tony Blair in Jerusalem, two people who played major roles in the diplomatic events described in this book. Ever since I was a young boy, I was a close confidant of my father's, and I believe I know him well. I personally witnessed many of the events described in this book and heard from him about those that occurred before I was born. I tried to bring to this book all I had learned and absorbed during those many years. I hope I was successful. The Eve of Rosh Hashanah Club. On the eve of Rosh Hashanah 1967, when I was 11 months old, my older brother Gur was killed in an accident with a gun. He was almost 11, and it was, without a doubt, the event that most affected me, my family, and our home. I am told I was present, as was my then 3-year-old brother Omri. I do not know what he saw or what he remembers, but there is no doubt in my mind that he, too, was profoundly touched by what happened. Deep down inside, in my core, there is a seed of sadness, and it is rooted in that event. But my nights of crying in bed and years of living with this open wound were dwarfed by my parents' suffering. The sorrow, the longing, the feeling that it could have been different, the loss of a whole life full of promise of a special boy who, as I learned over the years, was a gifted horseback rider, had a sharp sense of humor, and was a natural leader among his friends. In my mind, I relate the astounding fact that my father did not do harm to himself to the fact that he still had 2 children and a wife. Otherwise, how much suffering can a person take? And for what? I say this despite his strength and fortitude, qualities my father possesses in huge measure. His keen sense of responsibility, which extended well beyond his family, also helped him a great deal. But his attuned sensitivity and acute intelligence in no way eased his struggle to stay alive and maintain his sanity. On the contrary, I think those attributes were a burden under those circumstances. As he once poignantly remarked, the pain's intensity is not diminished by the years, it's only the intervals between the stabbings that grow longer. My father returned from the Six-Day War victorious and covered in glory, embraced by an adoring nation. I believe it was then that the enduring cries, "Arik, King of Israel," began. And suddenly, my parents found themselves in unfamiliar territory. My father was no longer anonymous. A large and loving crowd surrounded him. It was almost impossible to go out into the streets or to the movies. Nonetheless, my mother, Lily, always said that he returned from the war altered, as in David Atid's beautiful song, "You learn to return to old habits, but your face, my boy, remains altered. Stand in the gate, my girl, stand in the gate. I'm coming back to you on dirt roads. I was a boy, girl. I was a boy. Now smile at me, familiar and beautiful." She would sing along with the radio and grow sad. All the deaths and bereavements, the injuries and the pain, affected him. He's tough, but as I said, also sensitive. After the war, my father had the opportunity to take Gur on a tour of all the areas suddenly accessible to Israelis. The photographs are still in our home. But then, as in a Greek tragedy, disaster struck. Since then, year after year, at exactly 10 a.m. on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, our closest friends arrive at the cemetery in Kiryat Shaul, outside Tel Aviv. We do not notify them, they simply come. The story of our family and friends is reflected in the small group that gathers each year.